This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Improve your health and well-being the natural way with The Medicine Man, next on Plains FM.
We'll drink a drink a drink to Lily the pink.
Good morning, everybody. This is Michael McCammon, Medicine Man. We're here to talk about parasites and pollutants today. And pretty interesting. So if there's anybody here that thinks they might have the odd parasite, which is every one of you. And the other thing is pollutants. What do we mean by pollutants? Agricultural chemicals, but also the things, the lethal things that are in your kitchen and in your bathroom, all those 200,000 or whatever different chemicals we're exposed to. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I'll try to keep it as positive as we can. We'll come back to you soon. Now, a recent article in The Listener. I've got it right in front of me, chaps. It's great. Listen, what is it? It's September. So, yeah, the September edition of The Listener. And on the front page, don't touch the toxins. Alarming new evidence about the chemicals and plastics we use at home. Isn't that exciting? A new evidence. Of course, we all know that we're assaulted with chemicals, don't we? We know we've got an ocean full of chemicals, and we have so many chemicals that we're exposed to on a daily basis. And so before I came here this morning, I popped off to the beach in Brighton, had a nice walk down the beach. Beautiful day there. And coming back, I sat on the bench there in front of the ocean there, and there was this wonderful little lesson for me that I could start today's talk with. And it was a little wee cardboard box I've gotten my hand about the size of my palm. Looks like smaller than what they used to be, and they've got, it's got a picture of a disgusting looking organ there, and it looks like a brain. Yes, it is. It's a brain, and it looks like extremely anemic, and it looks like it's hemorrhaged on one side, and it's on a packet of cigarettes. And it says smoking is a major cause of stroke. And what a ghastly picture. And it is stunning, isn't it, that this will cost $28. I looked up the price of it. And people actually go there and buy this and stick it in their faces, and then they inhale 1,400 chemicals. But here's the rub. There's no sense in me going on and on and raving on about all the pollutants in our environment and how toxic it is and so forth, because I'm not sure if it's actually going to do any good. But we are exposed to a horrendous amount of toxic chemicals. So it's basically toxins, and that includes biological toxins and chemical toxins. So the two things we face in today's world is the horrendous amount of petrochemicals. And that comes from not just our kitchen and our basic environment and our bathroom, the stuff we put in our skin. Remember, the skin's the largest organ, and we're soaking up all this stuff. We're breathing it in. It's in our drinking water. It's in our oceans. It's in the food we eat. What are we going to do? Well, the interesting thing is, if you do decide to go the mainstream way, they'll actually give you their medicines that are made of the same stuff. Did I say it on air? Did I actually say that? Oh, my God. I hope I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and be alive, because I've just said it. There's an elephant in the room here, folks. The very medicines you're getting, many of them are made from the same raw materials. And what's the same raw materials? Petrochemicals from the oil industry. Yep. Our medicines are made from that. So you get any one medicine you like. Let's just take a good old common one like aspirin. Now, these days, I believe it's made from petrochemicals, and I think I did an experiment at one stage with one variety of aspirin and put it on a teaspoon and heated it under a candle to bring it back to its original substance, and it went black and it burnt and it smelt like car tyres, which is really interesting, and that was petrochemicals. You can try that with any drug that you're taking. If you're wondering where your pharmaceutical drugs are coming from, put them on a tablespoon for something, or a Bunsen burner or whatever, and just melt them down, and but don't do it inside, particularly if you've got smoke alarms or water sprinklers, automatic water sprinklers. Just don't even think about doing it inside anywhere near them. Do it outside, and of course you don't really want to inhale those toxic fumes. But if we look at where did aspirin come from, well, interestingly enough, it came from a plant. And if you look at the origin of most of, if not all of, the most effective medicines we use today, 75% of them were originally herbs. Isn't that interesting? These are the same things that the Cancer Society and the mainstream will tell you there's no evidence for herbal medicine being effective, and yet 75% or a huge percentage of what they use were originally from the herbal plant kingdom. There's something funny going on, isn't there? There's really something funny going on. So let's just look at a few others. The birth control pill came from the wild yam. That was a natural product from the plant kingdom. Antibiotics, immunostimulants. Antibiotics came from nature. Penicillin, mold, natural antibiotic. Then we have antiseptics that came from the herbal world also. Essential oils like eucalyptus oil, tea tree oil, echinacea. Okay, garlic. All these are things that scientists looked at and said, well, look, what's the so-called active principle? Because we know if we put garlic or echinacea into a tablet, our competition will just do the same because we can't own the patent rights for this particular product. So what's the point in putting any money into it? So why don't we see if we can synthesize it in the laboratory and make a unique chemical out of it, call it a particular name, and we have the patent rights and we can ka-ching, rake in all the money with it. Because the one thing about herbal medicine is, although it may seem expensive, it's much, much less expensive than mainstream medicine. I'd really like to see if we put money into herbal medicine, now our drug bill would go down a lot, a great deal. And I think the health of this country would absolutely rise exponentially if only we would put some money into subsidizing herbal medicine for our folks. Is that going to happen? Maybe not in my lifetime. Anyway, the best thing to do, I think, is just to get, you know, cut to the chase and say, rather than focus on all the negatives, let's just go and do some things. Because let's take it as read. Do I need to go on about this? So we just say, let's take it as read that we're in a world and we have two main problems, because we've talked about vitamins and minerals and so forth and all those sort of things up till now. And we want to narrow it down to the two things that are left to really address now on a practical level. And particularly now that it's spring, this is the time to get serious about the two most major toxins in our environment, the parasites and pollutants, right? All the toxic chemicals, 20,000 of them are known carcinogenics. In other words, they cause cancer. 20,000 of them, chemicals in our environment, in our homes, in our bathrooms, and in our environment, in our garden, like Roundup, right, are known carcinogens, they're cancer-forming agents. So we don't need any more research to discover the cause of cancer. That's just a big sham, isn't it? It's a money-making exercise. We all know what causes cancer. Surely we do. Is that disputable? Okay, so the two things, parasites and pollutants, let's focus on parasites. Now that it's spring, this is the best time to actually clean your body out from parasites. And the reason is that as the sap rises in the plants and as there's more heat, there's more energy, there's more vital force coming up, and the same thing is happening with us, all the sap's rising in us, and if there's any sort of sludge in there from the winter months, we're going to feel a bit sludgy at this time of the year. So this is the time to actually clean out your parasites. Now, I've got a wonderful book in front of me. It's a real classic one. It's called The Cure for All Diseases, and it's by Dr. Hilda Clark. And she's written this massive book. It's, I don't know, about 3 centimeters thick, and it's a classic one about all the things to do about parasites. And we can't possibly cover just in this one talk about what to do about parasites in its entirety. But according to Hilda Clark, everyone's got parasites. And in my practice, I've found this to be absolutely true. So the impact of these unwanted guests is far-reaching. The parasites, as you know, is a living organism which receives its nourishment and shelter from another organism where it lives, and that happens to be you. So here in New Zealand, we've got about 150 parasites known to commonly affect our population. The important thing to understand, however, is that not all parasites are lethal, and it actually depends on both the type of parasites that you may have and the level of infection. So there's actually four levels of infections of parasites. I'll go over them briefly. The first one is acute. The surface ones, they might be pinworms, threadworms, roundworms, or basically threadworms, pinworms, and hookworms. Fairly easy to eliminate them. Often in a few days, we can give a herbal formula that generally knocks them out pretty quickly, and that's the acute. In other words, they're relatively surface, but they will give symptoms, particularly in kids that have itchy bottoms. They won't sleep. They'll be grinding their teeth at night. So if you notice anything like that, and particularly here in the spring, this is when they seem to be active. They're breeding, right? They're breeding. The next level is subacute, where the parasites are there, but they're not actually causing any symptoms at all. That's just about everybody else. So as you sit here listening to this, yes, I guarantee, unless you've been on a really good, and I say herbal program, and I mean a comprehensive one, you are guaranteed to have parasites in your lower or upper intestine or both. And if you've got any weak genetic areas, you'll also have parasites in there too. So the subacute is they're there, but they're not giving any symptoms. The next level really is number three, where they're chronic and they've been there for a number of years and they've attracted other species along with them, including associated bacteria and viruses, and their symptoms of illnesses are present. You might have an itchy skin, all sorts of different things, but it's basically inflammation, which is your body's response. But the most important one in my work, because I see a number of people with cancer, is the most serious level of infection is the number four, which is the degenerative stage. And that shows up very clearly, by the way, when we look in the iris. It takes about 1 second to know whether they've got what level of parasite activity is in a human body. And degenerative is one is where there's tissue breakdown and there's a tremendous leakage of toxic material from the parasite and from waste material and bacteria and viruses associated with right into the bloodstream. So the best way to identify this level or any level of parasite infection, because the lab tests are absolutely hopeless because there's so many different sorts of parasites and they're quite cunning, they can disguise themselves, but they can never get beyond an iridology examination, which will immediately tell you where they are, what level they are, and what kind of damage they're doing. You always go onto my website, learn a little bit more, but you won't get a lot from that website in terms of parasites. You actually have to email me on office@nzherbal.com, or just go onto my website, nzherbal.com, and make sure you email me and ask for the information sheet on parasites. I can give you much more, including this particular talk and some of the details. So anyway, there are many species of parasites don't show any socioeconomic boundaries, and they can be found in all climates, but they're particularly active now in spring. So the evidence is now available to show that civilized countries have the same rate or worse now than parasitic diseases that existed in third world countries, because the world is getting smaller, people are traveling and the parasites are traveling with them. So what used to be known in perhaps deepest, darkest Africa is alive and well here in New Zealand, and probably very, very, and someone very close to you or even you. So even here in New Zealand, so the parasite issue is basically epidemic in proportion now. It's a serious threat to your health. I mean, it's a serious threat. We call the poisons that the parasite produces verminous intoxication. And what do they do? Well, it causes immune dysfunction because your immune system's trying to cope and it won't cope often. They rob ourselves of nutrients, including vitamins and minerals. They take amino acids. They can cause trauma to the body by perforation of your intestines. They cause a leaky gut. And according to Dr. Hilda Kark, parasites are implicated in all serious diseases, and especially cancer. And isn't that interesting? You won't find that in the Cancer Society's website. Please note, however, that as stated, I've said this before, cancer is complex, right? It's very complex, and there are multiple causal factors involved. So I'm not making any claims that all cancers are to do with parasites, but I am saying that parasites are certainly involved in all serious diseases, and cancer is no exception. So many individuals, and you may be one of them, and likely are, you're unaware that you've actually got parasites until today. So on the whole, unless your doctor suspects parasites, they'll not even be considered as a possible cause of your illness. Even if they do suspect it, the lab tests I've discovered have been hopelessly unreliable. I've had two patients actually take stool samples in, and we could see the parasites wriggling around in the sample when it came back clear from the lab, so I never actually bothered doing lab tests again, and I rely on what I see when I do live blood analysis, but especially the iridology. Remember that parasites have got several stages in their lifestyle, and many of these stages, they change both their location and nature, so they're pretty cunning. And many individuals here with health problems that I see are in the twilight zone of health. They're not sick and they're not well. Oftentimes, parasites are behind that too. So when any disease symptoms are suppressed, in other words, you'll get an immune reaction from the parasite, inflammation from the parasite or the toxins from the parasite. If you suppress just the inflammation or the signs without addressing the cause, there's more symptoms going to eventually created for you to medicate them. So that's a great money-spending exercise if you don't kill the parasite, because you're going to be medicating this particular symptom of inflammation. Then you're going to be treating the immune deficiency that comes from that. Then you're going to be treating the kidney disease that comes, because the kidneys will break down eventually if you give them too many drugs and so on and so forth. So it just goes on forever unless you get to the root cause of the problem, which is the two things we talked about: pollutants, chemical pollutants, agricultural chemicals, petrochemicals, and parasites. So the sole purpose, remember, of a parasite is not however to kill you. It's the sole purpose is they want to reproduce. So they often attract the weak but can even affect healthy individuals. Okay, so 30% of these parasites inhabit your lower bowel. Many breed here before migrating to organs, glands, muscles, joints, or other tissues. They'll settle in areas of genetic weakness, remember, and the large intestine is the nesting site of the parasites. Remove the nest by cleaning the bowel, destroy the parasites, and make your system and environment unfavorable for these unwanted little guests. So the important thing is I personally like to clean out the parasites with herbs, and some of the more nasty parasites, it's never a good idea to clean them out too fast. So it generally takes about 90 days, it's 3 months to clean out parasites. And if you want to do a proper parasite cleanse, yes, you can go to the pharmacy and get some Vermox, and that'll work for pinworms, roundworms, threadworms, possibly, but generally only the adult stages. And of course, there's several stages of the life cycle it won't get. So what we do in the herbal world is we give you a comprehensive program to get rid of them once and for all. But it really takes, I like to do it slowly so that you don't have this horrible sort of cleansing reaction, and you actually, you're building your immune system as you're cleaning up the parasites. So if you want to know more, just find a good herbalist, or you can just go to my website again. You can get more information just simply by emailing us. And again, at nzherbal.com is a good place to get some information. I'm happy to share any information that you like. I'm not particularly commercial, so I'm happy to share the good news. So, but those people that, if you're convinced so far that you've got parasites or you've done a parasite cleanse, it would be really a good idea to actually make sure you don't get reinfected. So we'll spend a little bit of time on some of the things you can do to avoid parasites. So wash your hands and fingernails and soap often during the day. Okay, make sure that you've got clean fingernails. It's a classic one. All you need to do is pop your finger near your mouth and you can get the eggs of parasites. Some of these eggs are the size of a grain of flour. Okay, so also if you suspect you've got parasites or in the middle of a parasite cleanse, make sure you've got really good, well-fitting underwear, and make sure you get a fresh pair every day. I know most of you do that anyway, but especially if you've got, for the kiddies, if they've got threadworms, pinworms, or seed worms, because they can travel quite easily. So they are pretty all over the place in the infectious stage. And make sure you shower. Sometimes you might need to shower twice a day. And make sure that you keep the toilet seats very clean. Make sure you vacuum your floors, you know, every day. And make sure you cook meat and fish really well. And even when you've refrigerated it, refrigerating food does not kill the parasites. And one of the most really important things is make sure you have a good old poo every day. And also make sure you eat plenty of fresh fruit and vegetables, which will help your bowel to move really well too. But and make sure you drink at least 6 to 8 glasses of clean, pure water daily. Now, remember, if you've got water with chlorine in it, you're going to weaken your system, and you're going to weaken your system to be more prone to get parasite infections as well. So there's a lot involved in cleaning up, but some real basic things. But one of the most important things, if your bowel's not moving every single day, and I mean it has to be moving at least once a day, and it should be moving at the same time every day. The ideal healthy bowel, though, is twice a day. Now, if you're any deviation from that, you can guarantee without a shadow of a doubt you've got parasites. And the important thing is that when you're having a clean bowel motion, you can get rid of a good percentage of the parasites simply by having a regular bowel motion. So that's about it in a nutshell today. I want to thank you for listening. And if you've got any comments, if you'd like to know some more, it's always great to get a bit of feedback to know what the things you're interested in most. And but remember, the theme today is pollutants and parasites, particularly parasites. And spring, right, September, is the time to deal with parasites. Traditionally, this is the time to clean parasites. So this is Mike McKimmon, Medicine Man. We're on Plains FM. And it's great to talk to you today. If you want to know more, website is nzherbal or newzealandherbal.com, www.nzherbal.com. And we'll catch up next week. Thanks a lot, chaps. Bye-bye.